Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional interests of the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black. Have your say. National Talk Black. New mob. Yarn up strong. With that, we're going to jump straight in. Talk to Deadly Brother, Jai Lawton. Had a yarn with him at the Yarra Music and Cultural Festival on the weekend. And looking to touch base again after the Deadly concert on the light. Jai, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Trendy Trev. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, my brother. Let the mob know. Who you mob? Where you from, Jai?
Yes, I'm a Bidjara man from central West Queensland and been down Brisbane way now for 15 odd years.
15 odd years, brother. Beautiful. And look, a fantastic event over at Yarrabah, Yarrabah Music and Cultural Festival. Jessica Mowboy and the likes, Too Deadly. And you guys, as in QUT, QUT is part of the organisation or the sponsorship. So tell us about your thoughts on the festival.
Oh, I think the festival was deadly, you know. It was that whole showcase of of Yarrabah itself, and Yarrabah, I think in particular, has such a, you know, the leadership in the community there and everything they do in the community is so deadly, and to see it showcased there at the Yarrabah Seahawks stadium, if you like, there.
It was
so deadly, you know, from the cultural dancing and the young fellas to the older mob, and then obviously all the performances, the food stalls, the food was incredible. All the market stalls, and then the performances. Jessica Mowboy, Electric Fields, Normie J there. We just booked him in for a gig down here actually next month. So it was deadly.
Hey, stealing our artists from up top here, you fellas.
That's it. We're all sharing, you know.
Spread the love.
And
Normie J, big shout out Normie J, Too Deadly. And just to have, you can see that Yarrabah owns it, don't they, in regard to that festival.
They really do own it, you know, and you had Alvarina Johnson and you know, the elders there and you know, all the local artists too, to really showcase them local artists. You had that little young little girl there. She would have only been, you know, 10, 11 years old on that big stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people probably at that stage, you know. So, they really do own it and, it was a great, great festival.
Good, brother, good. Now, you wear the hat, QUT. Tell us about the hat you wear there, and let's talk about Beamer as well, brother.
Yeah, so day job Beamer, CEO, AAA as we call it nowadays, but, you know, I've just taken a couple of months off to backfill a role that where a lady's on maternity leave at the moment at the QUT, so we're the Queensland University of Technology here in Brisbane. We've got two campuses at Gardens Point. I'm in Botanic Gardens at the moment, right in the heart of the city, and Kelvin Grove, And there's a range of different things that the university does in the Indigenous space, but we look after the Uadjuru unit, named after, obviously, Uadjuru Noonuckle, a great activist over in Yarrabah there, and poet and all other things. That's the namesake of the unit, and we support sort of the whole range of the student life cycle, so right through from recruitment to engagement, so getting out there in the schools and breaking down the barriers of, you know, university and the myths, and if people, you know, try to reduce those barriers into entry for mob that want to get into university. So we're out in the schools in the community at events, you know, really promoting that angle. And then we also have a pathway program to get mob into the university. So, you know, for whatever reason, mob might have experienced, might not have got the grades in grade 12, so they might have experienced sorry business or whatnot.
Like
whatever.
A bridging course, so to speak.
Well, just the direct entry pathway, so that it bypasses the mainstream pathway, and we can get them straight through the back door, if you like, or the black door, as we call it.
Exactly. Beautiful. Yeah. Black on black. Brother, and regarding students from all over the country?
All over the country. We've got mob online. We've got mob from up north, up your way. We've got mob from from everywhere, down Canberra way, all over the country, and there's about near on 900 current students, blackfellas that are enrolled across a various number of, you know, disciplines, from technology to engineering to nursing to architecture to law to, you name it, they're sort of enrolled in all these different things. So, yeah, and they're sort of, you know, obviously the next generation coming through. We've got some mature age mob too that are sort of coming to get to learn their craft or their trade in other things. So, yeah, we support those students through tutoring and access to their own space here, their own safe black space with, you know, computers and PCs and all that sort of stuff. So just try and make their experience as safe as possible and as supportive as possible, really.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. And when you look at our mob who are studying your further education and tertiary, university, strong in culture as well, and that's how come we can be so deadly as blackfellas, because we've got 2 feet in both camp.
That's it. And that's the one thing we encourage the mob here too, you know. They're learning one set of knowledge here in terms of a lot of it is, you know, it might be Western structures of legal systems, or it might be Western structures of, you know, engineering, or it might be all the Western structures of business. But we also make sure that, you know, we maintain that connection and that relationship with the wisdom and knowledge of our own culture, and we bring the two together. So we're doing a lot of the engagement stuff, cultural immersion stuff, and making sure that, yeah, we do, we still maintain that foot in both camps.
Yeah, that's beautiful, my brother. Thank you, brother. QUT, big shout out. And Beamer, the other hat you wear, CEO of Beamer, Brisbane Digital Media Association, AAA. Tell us about that space, brother.
Yeah, so we sort of, obviously, the equivalent of BBM, but down in
our big brothers,
in
yes.
yeah, we obviously run the radio as well, and you know, been doing a whole lot in that space. And then also, you know, we've branched out into events fairly in the last couple of years, so we've been doing some music festivals ourselves and some community events, the local community NAIDOC ball, and another couple of other music sort of festivals and events. And then, you know, obviously the training stuff still going on, so we've got actually a couple of trainees there from one from up Hopewell way. He's finishing up his craft at the moment in his certificate, so doing all that. And then obviously the video production space, and you know, cutting our teeth into other forms of media in that space. So and Trisha Collins, she's obviously heading up the spear there at the moment and doing
a big shout out, Trisha, doing a fantastic job holding the reins.
Yeah, she really is. And and all the mob there still ripping in and working hard as we sort of, you know, end the year, and then I'll be back there next year. So
too deadly, my brother. Too deadly, brother. And look, thanks for the yarn, brother. Great to see you once again over at Yari, and keep doing what you do, my brother. Big shout out to the mob there, QUT, and also the Beamer AAA mob, and thanks for the yarn, Cass.
Thank you. And I got my textbook out, and I was writing down all those dance moves you're doing up there in Yarrabah too.
Yeah, so, there you go. Big note in yourself. One love, my brother. One love. Brother. You take care, brother. See you, Jai.
See you, bud.
Dele Yande. Jai Lawton, his name is, CEO of Beamer. Just on a break at the moment, doing some work over there at QUT, Queensland University of Technology, and helping our mob as students get involved in the tertiary studies and furthering their education. But QUT was one of the sponsors over there at Yarrabah Music Cultural Festival and was a huge success. Big shout out, Yari. Know how to do it. Fly, Gula, fly. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Don't forget, Saturday, referendum. We go to the polls, vote yes or no regarding voice to parliament. If you want to yarn about that space, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
Pingoro yur yur yur, lukumuraga humala. Yenda Banapi Bamanda, Yenda Bakatyanda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Track there, Peace and Love, Motlop Twins and Elia. Peace and Love here. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Looking at the news, BBC News here, The Voice. Why Australia trails New Zealand on Indigenous journey. In an Auckland art gallery this week, visitors gazed at the largest collection of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art ever showcased in New Zealand. In the exhibit is a final room theme, resistance and colonisation. Observers stood back to assess a series of statements pasted on the wall by artist Vernon Aki. His 2002 work, If I Was White, relays his experience as an Aboriginal and Australian man in his own country. If I was white, I could wear a suit and tie and not look suspicious. If I was white, I could shop in luxury stores and not look suspicious. If I was white, I would not have to live in a country that hates me. If I was white, I would have a country. Standing there reading the panels, Debbie May, 65, turned to her friend Juan, the 25-year-old Chinese immigrant to New Zealand, and explained that her neighbour in Australia had a referendum on Indigenous people coming up called The Voice. It is to give them more representation, she said, so I think that's why this is all here, she suggested, around the room. It's connected. More conversations like these have been taking place this year in New Zealand, another former British colony seen as closest to character to Australia as its neighbour embarked on its landmark vote. If passed this Saturday, the update to the Constitution will recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as Australia's first inhabitants and also enshrine a small platform for Indigenous representation in politics. But according to polling, the Voice to Parliament proposal looks set to fail, a scenario that many across the ditch find astonishing. New Zealand is also grappling with colonial history that has left its Indigenous population severely worse off, like Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders in Australia. Maori disadvantaged with assessed through markers such as health outcomes, household income, education levels and incarceration rates. But in the art gallery, Miss May, expressing dismay over the likelihood of the Voice failing, suggested, "I think maybe New Zealand is a bit more forward-thinking." Then again, she added, "The history of New Zealand and Australia are very different, even though people might see them as similar." So that's the statement there on the news for BBC in regard to the Voice Department coming from a New Zealand perspective. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
That's Raz Alpha here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Reflect and listen. This is through ABC News. Yes campaigners contemplate what a no vote might look like with just days remaining until polls close in the voice of referendum. Some prominent Yes advocates are beginning to contemplate what a no vote might look like and what it could mean for Indigenous policy going forward. So this statement there, Liberal MP Julian Lisa says Australia must maintain its commitment to reconciliation regardless of result. Former National Andrew Gee says a no result won't benefit the coalition long term. Green Senator Dorinda Cox says in the event of a no result, it should be respectfully dissected. So there's statements there from the so-called pollies. Have your say in Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here. I'm about to catch up with brother man Ben Mitchell on the line. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, my brother.
Good to hear your voice, my brother. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, Ben Mitchell. My mob eastern and western Torres Strait, so Miriam and Moaugau, so Murray Island and Moa, but been blessed to be born on Gumuyidinji country here in Cairns, North Queensland, and great to be with you, my brother.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for coming to the program, my brother. I just want to touch base, how you're travelling. You've got a lot on your plate, and speaking of plates, many plates, you spin a lot of plates. I say a professional student, my brother. So tell us your journey. What are you doing, and what letters you got behind your name, my brother?
Well, it kind of evolved. I mean, yes. I guess the journey starts off as a pearl diver, trochus diver.
Yes.
That's where it all started in business, with my grandfather's business here in Cairns. So we've always exported seafood to the Asian market. So I've kind of four generations indigenous entrepreneur, so to speak, born into the system of business. Did a business degree, then went on to the MBA, a master's, because I just wanted to understand how we can better, I guess, utilize our knowledge and resources.
Yes.
From an indigenous perspective, you know, to create business and opportunities for our people and our mob and our families. So I've always had a passion in business and economics, and so I opened a couple of businesses myself, but then ended up doing an MBA in Canberra at ANU, and was so intrigued by the course that I had so many questions that now I'm actually doing a PhD in indigenous business and innovation. So trying to understand how our knowledges can really create progress in for our mob, especially out in the region, the remote areas.
Brother, they say when the student is ready, teacher will arrive. And we are students for life, are we not? And, get the tertiary education and use it as a vehicle, as a tool to empower our people. I say more power to you, my brother.
Yeah, thanks, my brother. You know, you're exactly right. I remember my mother and my mother-in-law, Josephine Aki, who's passed away now. She's in the family courts for a long time. And she said to me, she always said to us and our kids, you know, you're never too old to learn new things. So we've taken that, and education has been a big passion to continue to learn and grow.
Look, in a powerful space there, when we're talking about here we are, Australia, 21st century, we've got the yes-no campaign coming up, referendum, but we need more black successes, and especially in the business world, economy world, you know. So black people in business, that's a great platform there, and we're talking about black economy, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, and I've kind of taken a little bit more deeper because I had the opportunity to be overseas recently, and my research really is about not only business, but innovation, and creating innovation basically means new, how to create new ideas, new ways of thinking, new things, and in how to deal in this, especially in this Western world. And what I find is it's not so much our new knowledge, because we've got old knowledge, but no one's ever asked us.
True.
No one's ever, we've 60,000
knowledge.
Table, sit down. Exactly. So it's really about...
Well, we are professors in all fields, are we not? In all industries, if you're talking about 60,000 years, brother.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's trying to understand what knowledge is relevant, how can we work with those people who are key stakeholders, who have power, and then be able to influence that power to have empathy and understand and bring us to the conversation. So, you know, we want to be built in the system, not bolted on.
Sure, exactly. Exactly. So more black successes. How do you think we're travelling in that space at the moment, brother? Black businesses, no matter what... no matter what business, what industry, how do you think we're travelling?
Oh, look, I think I'm very optimistic. We're doing really well. Obviously, we can always do better, but
sure.
We've got people all over this international space, you know, like all over the place. We've got, not only the normal industries of working in, law or medicine or health and those types of things, but we've got, our mob in industries all over the world, working for companies like Boeing and working for, big IT platforms. And, we've actually penetrated, when we're sharing our knowledge and understanding and creating opportunity. And I think it's really good to have our people, especially, for us mob up here in the North region.
Yes.
To be able to experience the world and realize the world is so small that we can be contributors to world problems. So
sure.
We can provide solutions to world problems. And that's my space in the innovation space, is how we can contribute to not only create in our backyard, but also, or how we can influence, across the world.
Yeah, exactly. The idea of black people supporting black people as well, I think the old saying, you know, buckets and a crab, that's sort of pushing to the side now. We are virtually lifting each other up, and so we should, brother.
Yeah, and I think that's because we can relate with each other because of our experiences and having that built-in empathy and that, you know, as we say up in Ireland, you know, good pass in,
mm-hmm,
you know,
good
way, mm-hmm, you know, proper way, you know, to how to do things. And we're finding that, especially working with the Pacific, yes. You know, I've got a son over in Hawaii finishing off his undergraduate degree in business economics, and he's looking at a Pacific innovation ecosystem and
yes.
how we can leverage indigenous to indigenous. And this is not new. This is old, you know, technology and old ways of doing business. We've had indigenous, you know, population from all over the world dealing with us, you know, from the
north. Well, we used to trade back in the day, you know. You go to Fiji museums, and there's Torres Strait Islander headdress there, you know, durries. It shows that in the canoe we were always trading and doing business with other First Nation people across the globe.
Yeah, and that's what's good about that, our long history. And when we talk about, you know, 65,000 years, you know, we look at our time that we've been on Earth, and there are things that have been passed down subtly, almost just business as usual.
Yes.
I had an invitation to go to Germany because when I was over in Spain last this year, the Germans were just so intrigued.
Good.
About the innovation of Torres Strait Islanders making trochlear shells and turning them into buttons like we do in China. And they call that frugal innovation.
Yes.
And they wanted me to come over and present, but I didn't have time to go to Germany because, you know, I had the Murray Carnival on, actually.
Thank you, that's right. Got to get the priorities,
so
right?
Go there and talk about that. My girls are more important than going over and talking to Germany.
Exactly. No, beautiful, brother. And look, it's about enjoying the journey as well, my brother. And like I said, we are students for life. But it's also being active with that knowledge in the, you could say, white man world, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what I find, last year I was in Italy, I was presenting my research in two conferences, one last year and one this year, one in Italy and one in Spain, and, you know, through my university studies. And what I find is talking with these, you know, the Western or even different cultures from Africa and all over, they're just so intrigued to sit down and listen to your story. And it was about exchanging stories.
Sure, exactly.
Like even talking to the Germans, I went out to lunch with them and see, they got a fascinating story, you know, of resilience, how they came through. You know, they all didn't agree with the war when that happened way back in the day. You know, so they had to. So when you hear people's stories about their fight for resistance and, you know, I know there's a lot of things going on right now internationally, you know, overseas. And, but it's about sitting down, exchanging stories, creating empathy and learning from each other, and then working out what type of new relationship can we develop that can be an innovative way where we can both be blessed and create opportunities, not only for us, our families, but, you know, for our mob, and eventually trying to solve some of those world problems that we're having at the moment.
And look, that touches our foundation, doesn't it? We are belongs to storytelling. We tell stories, and everyone's got a story to tell. And by telling stories, you're walking a mile in each other's moccasins, so to speak. As I said, we're students for life, and we're learning, and we can sort of support each other, brother. You there, Ben? Ben. I lost Ben. Let me try here. Ben, you there? Hello, Ben? No, I lost Ben. We'll try and get Ben back. That's Ben Mitchell. Teasing him, but he's a professional student, always studying and always getting degrees, but also using those degrees as a vehicle to yarn to people across the globe as he travels overseas and what have you, but also to empower his people as in Torres Strait Islanders. And look, I'll just see if he's there. You there, Ben?
Yeah.
Got you, brother. Yeah, sorry. So I'm just saying, brother, that we student for life, we are storytellers anyway, aren't we? So when we make that yarn, make the story, it's like walking a mile in each other's moccasin, but also we become students to those stories, and that empower us, and we share the same stories with whoever sitting across the table from, yes?
Because you try to connect, and that's what storytelling is. It's all about how we connect. And once we're connected and we can understand each other's story, especially when the first thing we always say, where your mob from, for an introduction, as opposed to introduction to the Western world is, oh, you know, I'm an executive, or I'm this, I'm that. We always ask, well, where's your mob from? Who's your mob?
That's right, yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? As opposed to telling him my title and my role and the letters I've got behind my name.
Sure, okay. Yeah. Exactly. We're dealing with people, not product, and we belong to that, you know. And that's our connection, joining the dots, you know. Like I said, we claim our 10th cousin, like a true brother, don't we? You know, and everyone's auntie and uncle.
Well, it's like when you know when we're and you know when I was over in Spain, then I met these African mob, and you know, and you and I, we connected to Grandad Douglas Pitt, you know, to that Jamaican African line. And as soon as I let them know about my family history, them mob want to connect with me. Oh, so you're Jamaican, you're African, we're brothers, we all come from one God, but yes, I claim you as well, you can claim me,
Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it? And it's just a quick yarn like that, couple of sentences or a couple of questions. There's the bridge right there. And we're building bridges, aren't we, brother?
And making that's connection. The key. Yes. It's about building bridges and making connection. And what you find is when you're talking about, especially place and where you're from, you can't help but to feel the spirit of the ancestors.
Yes.
They're with us. They're with you. You can feel that. And that's what, I think that's what connects, especially when we're dealing internationally, when I'm talking to some of these mobs from all over, but even locally when we're talking our mob, how we do introductions from all over this country, we're walking with our ancestors, like they are with us. Why do you think we do the acknowledgement and welcome the country and acknowledge our, you know, our ancestors, elders, past and present? The past is present, like the past they're here with us. So
exactly.
It's a really good connection to understand that way of, you know, speaking and engaging with especially other people from all over the world.
Well, you hear some, some politicians have mentioned they're sick of the welcome to country or the acknowledgement, you know. That's a term of respect, you know, is why we acknowledge and respecting. But that's only for the people sitting in front of us. It's about our ancestors who are with us in spirit, brother.
Yeah, and I guess once again it comes back to education. If you don't understand the history and the truth-telling about this place, then those people aren't going to accept that type of language because, you know, like my good friend there from Ngunnawal country in Canberra, their sister there, Nevada Brown, you know, every time she does, explains to mainstream mob about why we do welcome the country, she's like, it's like going to, you know, if I invite everyone over to my house, my party, but I'm not there, and one of my friends stands up and says, oh, welcome to my house, there's my bedroom, there's my, help yourself. But you can't do that. It's either you're from there, you can welcome, but if you're not from there, just acknowledge, oh, this is Nevada's house, we want to respect it, we acknowledge this. And so it's someone always has a place, and where you're, as they say in Maryland, you know, where your kupa is buried, your, you know, your placenta is buried, this is your place, and we welcome these other people to come join with us and work together, not to disconnect us and cause that type of division.
No, so true, my brother, so true. So what's on the agenda with you? What hat do you wear? Are you still with NAIDOC? You're one of the directors, committee members of NAIDOC National. Are you still in that space?
So I'm no longer as a co-chair with Annie Ann Martin as a national NAIDOC co-chair. I think we finished that with that last theme, Because of Her We Can.
Okay, brother.
Yep. And so I think John Paul Jenke was in there after me, and then I think we've Shannon Dodson and some of those have taken over that space. But you know, I still keep my hand, you know, in the space of with our mob. But right now, where I'm at, I full time work for the National University as a senior fellow. I was created a job just during COVID to work there as a senior fellow in the practice of management.
Yes.
And then I decided to do my PhD on the side about Indigenous innovation. So I do that, and then on the side I have a consultancy business, and I work closely with my other business, I guess you could say partners to a degree. One of my friends there, Katrina Fanning, from down in Canberra. You know, she's a Wiradjuri woman. She's been a great support and help, not only in employment work side, but she sponsored my, I coach rugby league on the side, the girls. I'm investing in our girls rugby league. And, you know, and I was always a fan watching you play rugby league.
My brother, thank you. Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, the fullback there. But I love rugby league, but especially investing in the girls. So I now just, I coach the under 17 Roos. I have a bit of input into the FNQ side, but I also coach FNQ Pearls, a girls team that we take down the Murray Tunnel for the second year, and Katrina Fanning's been a great sponsor for us, and she goes, look, I'm Koori, I'm from New South Wales, but I'm going to support these bets because I love the game and I love the girls. You know, and so we took a girls team down Murray Tunnel about 3 weeks ago, and five of my girls from the under seven FNQ Pearls, they were five Torres Strait Island girls, got picked up from the Queensland team.
Fantastic.
Bo Dela Cruz was one of the selectors.
Okay, Bo, yes. So do they get to play in New South Wales, do they?
So they'll play New South Wales, I think, in February.
Okay.
The Koori team are down at Seabus Stadium at Gold Coast.
Yes.
And we're excited. We had four girls make the Queensland team last year in our debut game. And this year we've got five girls make the Queensland team, a squad of 20.
Good.
And I can tell you their names. Wazana Saide was one.
Yep.
We've got Lottie Sagigi.
Yes.
She's now with the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yeah. Yes.
We've also got Denisha Tillman-Givema. She's in Townsville. She made it. And we also got Rochay Mabo-King. She made it. And the last one who's also was with the Rabbitohs, Anise Mitchell, who's actually my 17-year-old daughter.
Beautiful.
And she made it. And Bo came up to us after and told us that, you know, five of those girls were successful. And they'll be announced. I think 3 days ago they announced the team. But we're just so excited. These pathways that the girls
exactly.
can go on is not only for rugby league, but we have Michael Robert and Aunty Gloria Ware, who are our elders and residents.
Yes.
And we keep, you know, we share culture, we share job opportunities, education. It's a holistic approach to on and off the field of using rugby league. And we're just excited for these young girls who go out there from all over the region. Cape York, Torres Strait, you know, up the tableland. It's been a blessing to be a part of this this movement.
Beautiful. No, fantastic, brother. And look, sports is a fantastic vehicle as well. Young ones learning about teamwork, about winning and losing. It's life coaching sports, so it's fantastic, my brother. Look, I salute you, my brother. Love what you're doing. You're so active and need to be, and we can all take a page out of your book, my brother.
Yeah, no, look, I'm excited. And I just, on a last note, 2 weeks ago, the Murray Carnival coordinators rang me up, and I got appointed as the Queensland coach now for that same team.
No, you didn't.
I'm
what are you, part-time married? You're going to get divorced over all these plates you're spinning, brother?
Oh, well, cut a long story short, we lost our two bus drivers for a 52-seater bus to go down to the Murray Carnival to take all our girls down. So guess what?
What?
My you wife, Marcy, and I, we went and got our bus license, and we drove the bus down there and back the Jarrigan bus, by the way.
Jarrigan. Represent Jarrigan. Yeah, thank you very much.
Big shout out to Jarrigan. You're awesome in their sponsorship, so we thank them.
Benny Mitchell, nice yarning with you. You motivate the motivator, my brother. Thank you very much. Keep doing what you're doing, Cuss. My bala, we'll be in touch. And love to your
right.
family, brother.
All right. Love to you and your listeners out there. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yawo.
All right. Small yawo.
Beautiful yarn there. Deadly man, Ben Mitchell, like I said, professional student, always studying, but outside that, he's got a beautiful family base and helping in the football space as well, and now being part of the Queensland Indigenous team and coaching-wise and what have you, administration, so look fantastic. And also those five young girls from his team got selected in the Queensland side and play against the New South Wales Indigenous side come February. Look fantastic, great to hear that. And being active, Grandad used to always say, are you living or are you just waiting to die? Get active with your life, your mob, whatever you're pursuing, chasing, need to go hard, and everything you want in life is outside your comfort zone. So get uncomfortable to get comfortable. We've got a caller on the line. Check who it is. Good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Well, Michael Newey, big SO. Hey, Bala, how are you?
Very.
Good, Bala. Good. We've got a couple of minutes, my brother. Let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm from right across. Southern atmosphere.
Beautiful, brother. Beautiful. So we go to the polls this Saturday, brother. Yes or no? Vote for a voice to parliament, yes or no, if you don't. Where do you sit? How do you see it all, my brother?
It's in the radio now.
Yeah, go ahead. We're on radio, brother, yes.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I think yes, got it. If you look at the Q&A the other night,
yes.
When the audience, 88% said yes.
Yeah. So you're feeling confident, brother? Yes, you're feeling confident.
Yeah, confident because a lot of people got brains out there.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly, yes.
The ones that are negative, they want to be negative because they are negative.
Sure, okay.
And then the ones, the racist ones, are the ones you got to watch. The neo-Nazis.
Yep.
They're fueling the...
Well, ask Lydia Thorpe. She knows all about that, brother.
Yeah, all the negativity stuff. You know, you got to deport these people out of this country. And so we got to be in a position where we can work with the government.
Yep.
Well, you deport this mob. Well, what about that mob? You know, we can say to them also that the mining company is on our land. How come we're not profiting? We're going to close that wallet, you know?
Exactly.
We can't close the wallet. We need money.
Yeah, money's the tool. Money's the tool. Yeah, brother, yes.
See, they play that monopoly game. Well, we can play it too. Occupying our country.
Yeah.
And those minerals belong to First Nation people. So we can build our towns and cities and have best water and the best gardens and everything.
Yeah, best. Exactly.
But it's like they don't want, you know, they don't want blackfellas to have their own private jet flying around the world.
Mm.
Like they, for a long time, they don't want us to have gold or silver. Got to stop now. That's why you got, because of the bad history, terrible history, and what are we going to teach our children?
Exactly.
Same German history or what?
Mm.
That's when it'll all come out with truth-telling. That genocide got to come out. You know, we're going to deal with the truth, we deal with the truth.
Well, that's right. Well, truth-telling, that's what we've been talking about, you know. And if there's truth telling, then you've got to acknowledge the truth.
Yeah, that's why you got conflict all over the world.
Yeah.
Because no one wants the truth. You know, they want to hide the truth.
Yeah.
That's why you like Palestine and Israel.
Mm.
That's a perfect example there.
Mm.
From three of hatred. Two family hating. Same family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Religion divides them.
Religion divides them. That's right. Exactly. Yes. That's division straight up, isn't it?
Yeah, over 3,000 years old.
Yeah, continues on.
Yeah, still going on. Bad to see. But we don't want to be like that.
Hmm.
No one wants to be like that.
Well, exactly.
But that lie and all that, that's the teaching of the devil.
Hmm.
Devil teaching.
Devil's work.
Devil's work, yeah.
Yeah.
When they lie, that's where it starts.
Mm.
They're lying and carrying on. Yeah. All, everybody wants to be top dog for the trafficking of drugs and arms.
Yeah, they're true entrepreneurs out there with illegal vehicles. When you're talking drugs or guns or what have you, some of those leaders could be true CEOs of corporations, you know?
Yeah, they're stealing children. We know that.
Yes, exactly. Human trafficking.
Yeah, they've been stealing it forever. No. That's that world it is today, it's sick.
Mm.
Because it's ruled by pedophiles. Cowards and pedophiles.
Yeah.
That's why ruling.
Yeah,
they teach bad propaganda, make people fight over all kinds of silly things.
And we need more black successes. You feel we should have more black people in business? That would be a great vehicle. And still, one foot on business, one foot in culture. Be strong, cultural man as well, cultural woman.
We've got to control the resources. We got to look after the land.
Yep.
It's about time people come to Cape York. They got to pay to get through. Got dogs, got a check for, you know, like tourists are carrying ice.
Yes.
To the, and the contractors are carrying ice into the. They got to have checkpoints.
Sure. And drop some coin in there.
They got to have good dogs there too.
Yeah.
You
gotta
have fun.
Yep.
Dogs to what's my. Step them out.
True.
Only dog find them drugs.
Yep.
Everything got done. Got to stop the supply of alcohol and tobacco to communities.
Killing our people, brother. Killing our people.
Yeah.
My brother, I've got to go to the news. Will you go yarn tomorrow, my brother?
All right.
Big yes, all. Thank you. Michael Angelo Newey from the Torres Straits and advocate for our black people. Activist strong and leading the way in what he does through his hat in the political arena a couple of times too. Trendy Trev, going to sign off you, Mobber. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll be yarning tomorrow, 1-800-422-416. Thank you for your company. And a big shout-out to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and a big shout-out to First Nation Radio Station across this beautiful country of ours, Daily Black Network, and got the news coming up very soon. Too deadly.